Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Something is taking place in Victory Outreach, and we're hearing rumours of revival that's taking place. There's revival that's taking place in different churches. In San Diego, they're seeing miracles take place. Just beginning, we were there in Whittier, and they're seeing a revival of prayer taking place in the presence of God. And I was speaking out there about revival, and I said, God has been putting it upon my heart because there is going to be a revival that takes place in Manchester, and we're going to see it spread throughout this city and this nation and this generation. And revival waves come from the sea. This is where the waves come from, the sea. And the sea in the Bible speaks about trouble. So if you've been going through a little bit of trouble, get ready for God to raise the stakes and bring about a wave of His Spirit, amen, that is going to bless your life. It's going to quench your thirst. It's going to release something. How many of you are getting excited and needing a bit of revival? If you've been feeling dry, if you've been feeling down, if you've been feeling lack, if it's been hard and tiring, then God, you're a prime candidate for the revival of God. But you got to want it. You got to be open to it. Amen. God ain't going to revive something that's, you know, alive. He revives things that have been falling asleep, that have been sleepy. And that sleepiness comes in a couple of ways. One, it comes out of laziness. Sometimes we get lazy. Amen. We get spiritually lazy. You know, we had a word from the Lord. Someone spoke to one of the pastors out there and said that God said that He'd become an inconvenience to some people. That there was He was an inconvenience in their life. That everything comes first before Him. And that when there's time for prayer, when it's time for church, when it's time to read the Bible or time to pray, that there's always something better to do. And if that's the case, then you need revival. You need to be revived, because if God becomes an inconvenience and He's not first of in your life, then you're dying. You're just dying spiritually. So don't let God be an inconvenience. Laziness can creep in. And then also, you can get tired. And I think that this church got a little bit tired. You know, last year was a big year, 2018. It was a big year in this church. We had the Super Sundays. We saw great things move. We were planting churches. We were involved in lots of stuff. We had the women's convention. And then you get tired when you're doing a lot of work. Amen. And when that tiredness comes, you start getting a bit sleepy. And when you start resting more naturally than you should be doing, then spiritually you start to fall asleep as well. Then the third way you get sleepy is through concussion. How many of you have ever suffered concussion? Anyone? This is Victory Outreach, man. Some of us have suffered concussion, I'm sure. Concussion comes from repeated blows to the head, or one big blow to the head, and you kind of get concussed. Amen? And it comes when you've been hit by the enemy a lot. I mean, you've taken spiritual hits and spiritual punches, and then you start, you know, not knowing where you are and what's taking place, and it's all a little bit weird. But what do they tell you? What do doctors tell you if you've been concussed? Don't go to sleep. Stay awake. Otherwise, if you fall asleep, you might never wake up. So sometimes when the enemy comes into a church and he starts hitting people in a church and you start feeling concussed, the last thing you want to do is pull back. The last thing you want to do is disengage. The last thing you want to do is go to sleep. Because I've seen it happen before and people never wake up. They just fall into that state and they don't wake up. But God wants to revive people from their sleepiness. And how many of you want to be revived? How many of you know you need to be revived? Amen. So I believe that God is doing revival, and we're going to start to see it take place within our church. I'm praying for it, I'm believing God for it, and we are going to see it. How many of you can say amen? Amen? But today we want to continue in our series Under Construction, because God wants to build a place. He wants to create an environment in our lives so that He can come and fill it. And He wants to fill it with good stuff. And so our lives need to be, if we can get into the place where we can be filled with the Spirit of God, then that's the place we want to be. Amen. But we have to build certain things. Certain things need to be put in place. Psalms 122, verse 1. The psalmist says this. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. When was the last time you was glad to come to the house of the Lord? I hope it was this morning. Amen. But sometimes, if we're honest, sometimes we come into the house of the Lord like we're being dragged into a place that we don't want to be. Amen. But when God comes into your life, there is a joy in coming to the house of the Lord. I want to speak to us today about making a house a home. Making a house a home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for your Spirit that is amongst us today. We thank you that we have a house, but it is also a home. Lord, I pray today that you would speak to us, that you would touch us, that you would fill us, that you would show us what it is that you want to do with our lives. Lord, we give you glory. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. No one wants to be homeless. I don't know about you, but I've seen homeless people. You know, when I was in the States, we see homeless people. When we're in Frankfurt, where our church is, there's homeless people. You go to Manchester, you see homeless people. You know, we walk past them, they're on the streets, they're in sleeping bags, they're in tents, they're in different places. And I don't know about you, but none of us want to be homeless. Am I right? Because homelessness is not a state that you want to be in. And that should never be a portion of a child of God. And I'm talking about naturally, but I'm also talking about spiritually. We should never, ever want to be homeless. God has provided us with houses to live in, amen, and places to find love and belonging. In Mark chapter 12, verse 20 and verse 30 through 31, it says this. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. God has provided us spiritually with a house to live in and grow in, and it's a place of love. It's a place where we get to love God, but also it's a place where we start to grow in loving our neighbor. Because how many of you know, when you have a house, you have neighbors. And God said, you know, bless your enemies and bless your neighbors, because sometimes they're the same person, amen. But we need to understand that the house of God is a place of love. Church is the house of God. It's a house of God. And it's where you love him and you love other people. And we know that, and we have a concept of that. We have a concept of church as being a house of God. But how do you make the house a home? There's a difference. There's a difference between a house and a home. You can see houses down your street, but you know which one is your home. Is you, when you come back from a trip, you don't say, I can't wait to get back to a house. You say, I can't wait to get back to my home. Because it's not just a random house that you're going to go to. It's a place where you're going to go in and you're going to feel love and acceptance and belonging. This is an important thing, a concept of making a house a home. It's an important thing to get to grips with, because everyone needs a home. Can someone say amen? I heard it once said, when people were talking about home, and they were like, well, you know, I'm in Manchester, but I come from London. Manchester's not my home, or is it my home? I've been here for a while. I'm not there no more. You know, where is my home? Is my home Jamaica? Is my home Ghana? Is my home Nigeria? You know, where's my home? Is it where I'm from? But I heard it once said that home is not where you're from. Home is where you belong. Some of you know we're all from different places. We got people from the islands, we got people from Africa, we got people from Europe, we got people from Ireland, we got people from London and different cities. Come on, somebody. But the fact is that we're all here in this place right now. So where is it that you feel that you belong? Because that's where your home is. And your home changes. I've lived in different homes. I've lived in London, that was my home. I've lived in different places in London and made it my home. I've lived in different countries and made it my home. I came to Manchester and we made it our home because it's the place where you belong. And it doesn't have to be your forever home, but it's the place that your home is now. It's where you belong right now. Amen? The notion of home, when you look at it, psychologically and scientifically, is the place where you feel safe to be yourself. You don't have to put on an act. And maybe, you know, sometimes we come out, we put makeup on, hallelujah. Don't look at me like that. I know some of you guys still dye your hair and pluck your eyebrows and do different stuff. Come on now. But it's the place we put on a face, we put on a mask, don't we? We put on our best clothes, right? Unless you live in Salford, and then I've seen people come out to the shops in their pajamas. At least I hope they're their pajamas, amen. Because if it was fashion, it's really bad. But when you come out, you put on your face, you put on your clothes. But when you're at home, you can get on your old tracksuit. Come on now. You get your pajamas on. How many of you love sitting about in your pajamas in your home? How many of you care what you look like in your home? It's the place that you can be yourself and be for real. It's the place where you can sit there with food on your top. I'm not the only one, man. And it's all right. Sit there on the couch in your favorite chair, watching your favorite program with your favorite people. Amen. That's what home is. It's a place where you're safe to be yourself and where you feel connected to other people that you like and that like you. Amen. It's that. That's what home is all about. And they make you good to feel. They make you feel good. They make you feel alive. It's the place that you want to be. That's a home. It's not just a place that you check into, like a hotel. When I travel, it's not very glamorous. I've been traveling a lot. And I go from a hotel to a hotel to a hotel. And you check in and it's the same thing. You get your key, you go up, you put your bags in, you look around. And it's the same thing. You got a bed or two beds. You got a little chair. You got some heavy random furniture. You got some random, you know, decoration. The ones in America are generally, they look really old. They're all beige and red and brown. Amen. You go to Holland, when I'm in Holland, and it's all super modern, you know. But they have glass doors on the bathroom. There's modern, and then there's, no, I don't want to see that, man. Right? But wherever you go, you check in, don't you? You go in. And you just do what you need to do. You stay there, you sleep there, you get up, you leave. But you don't make your bed, do you? You don't put nothing away. Your towels, you drop them on the floor. Amen. You don't take care of it because you've got nothing invested in it. Except the money you paid for it that you expect to return for your money. I've paid for this room and I expect someone to pick up my towels and, you know, make my bed. And if they don't make your bed, you get outraged. I mean, if you've ever been back to a hotel room and the maid ain't been round, you're like, she ain't even made my bed. What's happening with this hotel? I'm going to get on Yelp. Make a complaint. I'm going on Instagram and making a complaint. Imagine doing that at your house. I haven't made my bed. I'm going to complain about myself. It's different, man. Are you with me? Safety and connection are important concepts in a home environment, but so is investment. It's not just a place you check into like a hotel. It's a somewhere you invest into, where you put down some roots, so that you can grow and you can flourish. Psalms 92, verses 13 through 15, is speaking about this. And it's talking about how he sees the enemies around him, how they're falling and failing. He says this, he says, but those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Why? Because they've sown seed. And when you sow, you shall reap. And if you learn the concept of spiritual investment, you will understand spiritual replenishment. You'll get a return and it will be consistent. Are you with me? They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. When you make sure that you're rooted and grounded in the house of God, then there's a blessing and a benefit that flows. The problem is, in today's society, is that there's a lot of Christians that treat church like they treat a hotel. They come in to use its services for a season when it's going to be of benefit to them, but then they just drop the key back on the desk and just walk out. Come on now. Can I be honest with you? They treat church like a convenience and God like an inconvenience. But having a church home gives you spiritual soil for your roots and a spiritual covering. Come on now. I don't know about you, but you need somewhere to put your roots down and you need somewhere that's going to cover you from the enemy. If you've ever been outside of church, you ain't been part of church for any season of your life, you know that it's a lonely old business. You know that it's, you know, it's you. You're fighting the enemy. Are you with me? It's you against the world. But how many of you know that when you're in a church and there's a covering, there's other people around you, there's walls around you. Some people are walls in the church. Jesus is the foundation. Other people are walls. Then you have the covering above you. People that are praying for you. People that you can go to for advice. Come on, somebody. You know that there's a safety in that environment. I've personally made this church, Victory Outreach, my spiritual home for 23 years. 23 years, Victory Outreach has been my home. It ain't a perfect place. There's always a little bit of decoration that could be done. Come on now. There's always some improvements that can be made. There's always changes in seasons. You know, the wallpaper that you had 10 years ago ain't cutting it right now. The couch that you sat on for 10 years, now it's molded to your bum, man, and you just, no one else can sit there. You need a new couch. The bed that you've slept in now is bigger than it was because of all the dead skin that has come off of you over those 10 years, and it's time that you either hoover it or get a new mattress. You know that there's changes that need to be made in your home, but this one's been good to me for 23 years. It's given me a place to belong, a place to sink down roots. When I came in, I was a heroin addict. Now I'm not a heroin addict. Now I'm a pastor. Now I'm a husband. Now I'm a father. Now I travel the world. Now I'm a homeowner. I had none of those things when I came into Victory Outreach. But this place has become a home, and I've been able to find friends. I've got friends all over the place, man. I've got friends here in church. They're wonderful people. People from different backgrounds. Wonderful. The only doctors I knew back in the day were people that used to prescribe me methadone or stitch me up when I had holes in me from different escapades. But now I have friends that are doctors, friends that are psychologists that are not just trying to sit me down and get me psyched off. Come on now. I've got friends from all different places, friends from different countries that eat different food. I'd never eaten fufu before I came to Victory Outreach. Are you with me? I'd had some curry goat and all that because, you know, I had some Jamaican friends. But how many of you know I didn't have some of the stuff? I'd never had oxtail. Everyone's getting hungry now. They're like, hurry up, man. Dinner's coming. I need my dinner. Huh? I'd never had tacos. Are you with me? I never had that stuff. Now I have tacos. I have friends that are American, friends that are Mexican, friends that are South African. Are you with me? I'll be going to South Africa in a month's time to preach at their conference. And I'll be over there with all my coloured brothers from Cape Town. And, you know, there'll be black people from Johannesburg and Pretoria. And there'll be white people over there and brown people from Mexico. And there'll be all different types of people. And I've found all of these new friends. I've found a place to belong. I've found a place to be rooted. And as I've been rooted and as my roots have gone down deep into the things of God, my life has grown up. I've grown up from where I grew up. I've started to flourish and I've started to bear fruit. It's been a good place to call home. How many of you have met people that you would never normally have met? You've done things you'd never normally have done. You've been places that you would never have been before. Then it's a good place. Are you with me? 23 years. Place to belong and a people to call family. I've got brothers and sisters that are not my blood, but they're under the same blood, covered in the same blood. We've got the blood of Jesus. Amen. Different backgrounds, different accents. What about you? If you think about it, you've made contacts and connections in the house of God, right? God has been good. But I want to give you quickly three things about this church. Three things that I want you to know about this church, Victory Outreach Manchester, so you can make a decision as to whether or not it's a place that you want to call home. Amen? Not just a place you check into, not just a place that's like a convenience store, not just a hotel that you come to every now and again, but a place that you say, you know what, that's my home. That's the place that I want to invest my time, talent, and treasure in. That's the place that I want to make friends in. That's the place that I want to be a blessing in. That's the place I want to invest in the love of God and the love of people in. This list is not exhaustive. It's just, you know, very basic. And you can add to it, I'm sure. But I just wanted to give you three things that I think are very, very important. Are you ready? I think it's important to be reminded about why we gather together in this place for worship. Because that's what keeps our motivation fresh and it deals with the things that can stop us being everything that God wants us to be. So you don't just come to make business connections. You don't just come to vomit on people. You come to worship the living God. And there's a reason why we come to this place and there's three things I want you to know. Are you ready? Number one. We are a Christ-following, full gospel-preaching church. We are a Christ-following, full gospel-preaching church. What does that mean? Because it's obvious, right? But it still needs to be said. That means that we believe we belong to Jesus in this place. Can someone say amen? We're not part of any other funky thing. We belong to Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. You know, there's atheists that say that they don't believe in God and they talk about a man with a beard on a cloud and all the rest of it. But here's the thing, I heard one guy say, a guy by the name of John Lennox, who's a Christian apologist. He's a professor at Oxford University, professor of pure mathematics and a Christian apologist. He's great. And he debated once Richard Dawkins, you know, the arch atheist. And Richard Dawkins was mocking God and talking down about God and, you know, talking this about God. And John Lennox said to him, he said, Richard, he said, you have to understand the God you don't believe in, I don't believe in either. People have this mad concept of who God is. They think of him as a created being with all the whims and the emotions that we have, that he does things the way that we do. That he's subject to time, space, and matter. But he's not. He's beyond that. He created it all. We serve the Creator. We serve the God that is above all of those things. All of those things came from. Can someone say amen? Amen. We belong to Jesus, God the Son, fully God and fully human at the same time, incarnated into this world, God and man, the only Savior. And the only way of salvation. That's who we believe in Victory Outreach. We don't believe in a created God. We don't believe in a God of human constructs. We don't believe in a God that just fills in the gaps that science hasn't found out yet. We believe in the God that is the omniscientist. He's the one that created it all. Can someone say amen? Do I need to go on and explain to you who he is? He was born of a virgin without being conceived by a human father. Technically, Joseph was his stepdad. The Holy Spirit is his father. God the Father is his father. Come on now. People say, well, how does that work out? Well, it did. Amen. It worked out. He was born where he was prophesied to be born, in Bethlehem. It was prophesied that he was going to be born there. Amen. When he was born there, where he was born there. And we believe that he lived a perfectly sin-free life. He did not sin. How many of you can say the same? I said that once, someone put their hand up. I said, you just messed up, man. You just sinned. You lied. He died innocently for us because we weren't innocent. And this is important so that his life could be a substitute for our lives and that we could find freedom and forgiveness in him. And he was, this is the most important part. Not just that he died, because anyone can die. You know, we see in Remembrance Day, greater love is no man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend. We've seen people give their lives for their friends all the time. You don't have to believe in God to give your life for someone. But how many of you know that you can't resurrect from the dead? He raised from the dead. He raised from the grave, never to die again. No one else has ever done that in the history of the universe. He is the only one that has ever raised from the dead, never to die again. He was resurrected, and it is that power that gives him the unique place, the resurrection of the dead. And we're waiting in hope for his return. I mean, if you know, he's coming back. And I don't think it's going to be long. We hear of wars and rumors of wars. We see of states rise up. We hear of all of the things that are taking place in the Middle East, and we know that he's coming back. And when he comes back, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be flourishing? Are you going to have oil in your lamp? Are you going to be filled with the Spirit of God? Are you going to be doing what he wants you to do? Are you going to be there asleep? He's coming back. We believe that. And that means that in this church, we preach and teach what the Bible says. And we expect that what it says will happen in our lives. Are you with me? We expect that. We expect that God is going to touch your life. God is going to change your life. That's why we see so many men and women, their lives get changed, get set free. Amen. That's the power of God. And we expect that if we continue to walk in obedience to his word, then our lives won't necessarily be easy, but they will be simple. There'll be necessary things that we have to go through in life, but the unnecessary stuff is usually self-inflicted because we didn't do what he said. Right? We didn't love the way he said. We didn't live the way he said. We did things ourselves. But we believe in the Bible. That's why we preach the Bible. And that makes some people uncomfortable. Because everyone wants to come and just be lifted all the time and be stroked all the time and be encouraged all the time. And we try to do that. But you know, sometimes you have to deal with situations. Imagine going into the doctors when you've been feeling sick and the doctor says, "Nah, it's all right. You're looking good. It's fine." Amen. But you've got cancer. And then one day it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And the doctor knew you had cancer, but didn't want to tell you in case they offended you. And you never went back to the surgery. Huh? It's heavy. Imagine having a bad tooth and you're going to the dentist. He goes, "No, it's all right. Your nose is looking good. What have you been doing to your skin? Your hair looks wonderful." Huh? And you leave feeling beautiful with a bad tooth. So can't churches be the same as doctors and dentists? Can't we make the same prognosis? Can't we have the same diagnosis? Can't we say that sometimes, you know, what's the matter? What's happening? What's going on? You know what? Maybe it's this. Maybe you need to deal with that. Maybe something needs to be removed out of your life. Maybe God wants to cut something out so that he can release something good. He can release health. But what has happened? Are you with me? Can't churches be like that? Because that's what we want to be. We don't want to be people that just tickle your ears. We want to be people that see you get healthy, that see you blessed, that see you be able to live a long and flourishing life. Not just people that make you comfortable all the time. Because comfort and change are not best friends. But the gospel should change your life. And I'm not just talking about your behaviors or your habits or your lifestyle or your beliefs. It should change your life. There's an exchange that takes place through the gospel with your life and the life of Christ. That's why we want to be filled with the Spirit of God, so that we can be lifted and raised and we can live in the way that we were created to live. So we don't just give feel-good messages or inspirational talks. You're not just getting a 20-minute inspirational TED talk when you come to church. Amen. Go to YouTube when you're going to the bathroom or you're having a shower or whatever and watch an inspirational talk if you need to be inspired like that. But when you come to church to be planted and rooted and flourish. You come to church to love God and love your neighbor. You come to receive, but also to give. So there's a flow that takes place within your life. Huh? The message of the gospel is not that Jesus is just a free ticket to heaven or just a meal ticket on earth. That's not what we preach. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus reconnects us with the creator of life and promises us fullness in every area of life so that we can belong in his family and that we can do what it is that he wants us to do and that we can become vessels of blessing to other people. That's what you do in home when you come home, right? You come home and you receive love and you give love. Are you with me? When you go to a hotel, you just want to receive everything, but you don't want to give nothing back because there's nothing invested in there. There's no reason for you to do that. When was the last time you went into a hotel and you know, the maid was there and you bought her a gift? Yeah, I went out shopping and came back. This is for you, maid. But you do that with your family. Are you with me? And there's the difference. We judge success by how much people are living like Christ. In this church, we don't judge you by the car you drive. We don't judge you by the clothes you wear. We don't judge you by how your hair looks or it doesn't look. Come on now. We don't judge you by the quality of your clothing or the length of your nails or the whiteness of your teeth. We judge you by how much the Spirit of God is working in and through your life. And we're right to do that. That if you're in sin, we'll love you, but we'll say you're in sin. And if you're doing good, we'll say, well done, you're doing good. Amen? That's the reality that you want to see. It's like going home to your family and you know, you're messed up. What are they going to do? Just skirt around the issue? Are they going to go, you okay, sit down, what's the matter, what's happened? Imagine going into your home where your family are and you've got all marks all over your face and you're covered in mud and you've been rolling around in a field or someone's attacked you or you've had an accident and you walk in and you're bleeding and you're covered in mud. What are your family going to do? Just look up at you and say nothing? Or are they going to say, what's the matter? What's happened? You okay? That is a home when you get that take place within your life. Are you with me? And we believe that success means that we look more like Jesus. You know, when you got more grace, when you got more love, when there's more beauty around you because you're loving people and not condemning people. Amen? That is what a family does. But nothing beats that love. And we also believe God's active power is for today. We believe that we can pray. If you're sick, come, the Bible says, to the elders. Come and tell us, I'm sick, will you pray for me? Come and tell us if you've messed up. You know the difference between some people's concept of God and the real God? Is that, you know, when people have messed up, some people have a concept of God that is transactional, that is conditional, and that if you've messed up, you want to hide it from him. And you'll say, I've messed up. I better not tell me dad. I hope me dad don't find out, right? But that's not the God that we serve here. That's not what we portray. We want you to say, I've messed up, I need to tell me dad. Because you know that your dad is the one that's going to be able to wash you clean. He's the one that's going to be able to give you a solution. He's the one because he loves you. He's not going to cast you out because you messed up, because you're family. That's what we want in this church. We understand that things get messy from time to time. We understand that life happens, but we want to know that you're able to come. Second thing, we're dependent on the Holy Spirit. What that means in a nutshell is that we don't take matters into our own hands. We refuse to manipulate or manufacture or manage perceptions. We're not just going to tell you everything's fine when it's not. We're not going to, you know, put smoke machines and bells and whistles to try and say that the Holy Ghost is moving or give you an experience. We want the experience to be internal, not just external. We want to be real. We want to be the real thing. We want real salvation. We want real change. We want real healing. We want real revival. And we need to be real and cry out from our hearts, really, to see God do that. And that means that sometimes people are going to be disappointed with us. Because sometimes people want quick fixes and quick answers to long-term problems. But that's not how it works. Sometimes you need to work through the consequences. You need to just come and be real. Can someone say amen? We can handle honesty. God always works with things that you allow to come into the light. And we're led by the Holy Spirit. We need his power. We need his insight. We love quality. We love doing all that stuff. But at the end of the day, we want to be real. Can someone say amen? Amen. The third thing is that we have a real meaning and purpose. There's a real meaning and purpose. We've got a vision. We've got a mission. And that's why we don't want to waste time tickling people's ears. There's a world out there with hurting people. They're in our immediate lives, in our families, amongst our friends, our neighbours, our workmates. And this church is a church where you come, you get fixed, you go out and you fix someone else. That's what it's all about. A home is a place that you give and you receive. You receive and you give. It's a place where you come in and you get fixed up so you can go out and fix up someone else. Are you with me? And everyone that is blessed by the home wants other people to understand what home is all about. I remember when I was a kid, I had a friend who got kicked out of his house, and he had a bad family experience. And so I went to my mum and dad. I said, I've got this friend, man, he's been kicked out of his house. Can he come and stay with me until he can find somewhere to live? You know what my mum and dad said? They said, yeah, okay. And he came and he stayed in my room, and, you know, my mum and dad fed him, gave him money, helped him out. I was just a kid. But it was a home. And it was a place where people could come and they could find acceptance. I want that to be our church. I want it to be where you can bring people in and you can say, you know what, this one's got a problem, can you help out? This one's got a problem, can you help out? And I don't know about you, but in our history of Victory Outreach Manchester, we have taken people from everywhere. We've had people come in, but what about if that dude had robbed me, mum and dad? Well, if he did, he did. They were like, you know what, we'll take that risk. What about if they break his heart? Well, we'll take that risk. That's the risk of love. That's what homes do. Can someone say amen? We've had people come into this place and they've said it's their home and then they've stabbed us in the back. We've had people that come in and they've used all of our facilities and they've used everything we've got. They come in broken and sometimes they don't even realize it until they're here. And then all their brokenness is revealed and then people get around them and they love them and they start getting fixed. And as soon as they're fixed, they walk off without even a backward glance. And that's okay. Does that mean we stop doing it? No, of course not. Because our home environment is not determined upon external circumstances. It's determined upon an internal reality. And the internal reality of this church is that we believe that anyone can come and find someone to connect with. That it's a place of dignity and belonging and destiny. It's a place where it don't matter where you come from. We believe that there's somewhere where you're going. There is a vision for our lives. There is a purpose for our lives. Come in, get to know Jesus, and he's going to work things out. So therefore, it's a place that you can bring friends, that you can bring other people. Come to my home. You're not inviting them to your hotel room. You're inviting them into your home. Come in, be yourself, wear your pajamas. You come in, you don't have to wear that suit and tie when you come in. You can come in messed up. But how many of you know you ain't gonna stay like that? Because in the home, that's where you find love and you find acceptance. How many of you have messed up? And how many of you have received forgiveness and love and compassion? Amen. That's what the home is all about. So God's house can become a home. But you know what it's dependent upon? The home is dependent upon the mentality and the heart of the people that live in it. Anywhere can be your home as long as it's a place where you can belong. And when you know you belong, put your roots down. Make it your home. Decide, this is my home. This is the place where I'm going to flourish. And then flourish in the house, do your chores, but then go out into the world and bless the world. We're cool with that. We send people out, we release people to go and do their stuff. But when you're in a home, take care of the home. Amen. When you're in the house, take care of it. And when you go out and be blessed and be a blessing, because you're taking something of quality with you. Would you stand with me right now? Two things I can guarantee to you about this church. We don't want to use people to build our church. We don't use you and discard you. We don't do that to build a church. Because at the end of the day, we don't build the church. Jesus builds the church. Amen. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Don't matter what comes from outside, Jesus will build his church. As long as we're faithful, God will do what it is that only God can do. We can build an organization. We can build a spiritually seeming secular organization. We can build a club with our own mindset and our own talent. We can build something that looks like a church, but actually isn't. But how many of you know, only God can build a church at home, a church home. Only God can do that. We don't want to use people to build our church. We want to use our church to build people. That's what Victory Outreach is all about. It's a place where people can come and they can build and grow. Amen. I've seen some of you come in messed up. And even though you say now that you don't feel happy, you're married, you got a job. Come on now. You got a house. You got family. You got something to pin your hopes on. You got ministry. When you came in, you was all messed up, lonely, broken, confused. Amen. Let's not forget where we came from. And let's not forget the home that God has developed for us. The second thing I can guarantee is, because we believe that everyone has a family to belong to and a place to grow in and a plan to fulfill, our constant prayer is that everyone who comes into this place will become everything they were created to be. We've had people come in as students and now they're bankers. We've had people come in as drug addicts and now they're family members, they're husbands and wives. We've had people that have come in as doctors and lawyers that had no purpose and now they've got purpose and meaning. We've had people that have come in that were just completely ensconced in their own life and now they're involved in other people's lives and they've been blessings to other people. And it's going to continue and it's going to continue and it's going to continue. And I believe that God is raising up a people right now in this place that say, this is my home. Let's build this place. Let's grow it. Let's extend it. Let's expand it. Let's see more and more things take place, because the experiences I've had, I want other people to have. Lift up your hands. Close your eyes.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.